You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and their loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
News Talk 1360 WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with your host, Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. And now, Caring Connections.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on 1360 WCHL. Today, we will be talking to Dr. Philip Griffin and Dr. Robert Kiefer from Now Hear This on an advanced hearing and fitting system. Welcome, Dr. Griffin and Dr. Kiefer.
Thank you for having us.
We are so glad to have you here today. This is very exciting information to have and definitely a topic that folks should know more about. So you brought with you today some of the top 10 things that people should know about hearing and hearing aids and hearing loss, and they probably don't. And I thought we would share a few of those. And if you want to put some input in, we'd be glad for you to do that. You said that in a national survey, 87% of patients said they have purchased a hearing aid from an audiologist at the place that they bought it from, but they didn't have an audiologist. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Right now, in the hearing care space, people aren't really sure who they're going to see when it comes to their hearing care. You have a few different professionals that are involved in caring for hearing,
right?
Such as ear, nose, and throat physicians.
Mm-hmm.
Even family doctors answer questions about hearing. Audiologists and hearing aid dealers. And a lot of times, patients simply don't know who they're talking to.
They just assume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It must be an audiologist.
Exactly.
And everyone wears a white coat, so. Another thing was only 20% of hearing aid users report being very satisfied with their hearing aids. That's a sad statistic.
It really kind of is. It's an unfortunate statistic, and it's one that we're trying to change. Unfortunately, hearing aids for a variety of reasons aren't very satisfying to patients at this point, but the main reason is because usually they're not fitted properly.
Hmm.
People who do have their hearing aids fitted properly report much greater satisfaction.
And we're going to be hearing more about that.
Absolutely.
And the last one I've been hearing more and more about from the national news is that recent studies have shown that hearing loss is linked to a much higher risk of dementia, Alzheimer's, depression, falls, and less earning potential. And that those are all huge issues for seniors, the falls, the Alzheimer's, the depression. I mean, all that leads to a slippery slope.
Absolutely. The research that's coming out is very interesting, and it's perking up a lot of ears in different medical disciplines, and audiology is one of those. But also, as you mentioned, falls, which are becoming a major public health problem in America right now. And all these linkages are starting to become clearer and clearer, and we're seeing how the brain and the body needs stimulation, exercise, hearing, cognition, all of those things to stay healthy in more ways than just one.
That's right. Very good. Yes.
And if I can amplify on that just a little bit, it was a recent study that showed that followed over 600 patients and found that those who were hearing impaired had up to 5 times the risk of early dementia or Alzheimer's or other adverse health effects. So it was a very well-controlled study, actually sponsored and funded by the National Institutes of Health.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And they just say the word Alzheimer's or dementia, that strikes fear in the hearts of so many people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely. So if there's anything we can do to help prevent that, that would be definitely something that folks would be interested in, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really necessary for patients and individuals to go to medical doctors for their hearing loss?
It's interesting. You know, when you look at hearing loss, out of all the hearing loss that's out there, only about 10% of it is due to a medical problem such as a tumor or an infection or some sort of growth in the ear canal. Only 10%. So 90% of people actually just have plain what we call sensory neural hearing loss, which doesn't really require the intervention of a medical physician.
Okay.
So the answer to that is initially, no. Most people can go see an audiologist first.
Okay.
And if there is a medical problem, audiologists are able to appropriately refer those folks. In fact, the VA system and the VA hospital has changed the way they do it.
Okay.
In the past, all veterans used to see ear, nose, and throat physicians first for their hearing loss and then go to audiology. But when they started looking at that and looking at the costs of that, the time it takes to do that, they said, this doesn't make any sense. For those 90% of people, they really just need audiology. So they've actually switched that. So now all veterans see audiologists first before ear, nose, and throat doctors. And the trend is starting to become that way out in the general public as well.
So for the lay people out there, what's the difference between an audiologist and a medical doctor?
A medical doctor, right. A medical doctor or a physician is someone who specializes in more physical problems of the ear that may cause hearing loss. So these would be things that require medication or surgery to fix, such as infections, tumors, growths, diseases in other parts of the body that affect the ears. So this would be true medical care. Audiologists don't go to medical school, per se. And we don't learn how to do surgery or prescribe.
Okay.
We focus all of our attention solely on the sense of hearing.
Okay.
And the inner ear is an organ, and how we can rehabilitate hearing loss when traditional surgery and medication has no answer.
Okay. Well, that's a very simplistic way of describing it. I think that helps people to understand. Thank you. So what's involved in a hearing test and what does it show? I know my children have had those at the doctor's office, but I always wondered.
You know, what we do is we basically graph out and find out the softest sound that people can hear in different ranges, from bass to middle pitches to high pitches.
Okay.
So if we can find out what's the softest sound that someone can hear, then we can really tell, based on that, what other things they can hear as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So everyone is supposed to hear sounds that have a certain amount of softness, all the way down to what we call 0 decibels, which is kind of the kind of like 20/20 eyesight.
Okay, that's a good way of putting
it. So we measure that. We find out, okay, does this person have 20/20 hearing?
Right.
And if they do, that's great. They can hear everything they need to. If they don't, then we classify that as hearing loss.
Okay, interesting. So how do you decide the style of hearing aid if you determine that someone has a hearing loss?
Yeah. Choosing the right hearing device or hearing aid for someone is actually pretty complicated, and there's a couple factors that go into it. The first thing is the hearing test.
Okay.
So the hearing test is what we look at in main terms of how much power we need in a hearing aid to amplify correctly for the hearing loss. So we look at that hearing test to get a prescription that we need to match, so to speak. But we also have to look at other factors, too, like how big of a hearing device is the person willing to wear, or how invisible would they like the hearing aid to be?
There's a big stigma. People still, to this day, especially women, they don't want to have something that people can see.
You're absolutely right. And believe it or not, sometimes men are even more vulnerable to that because we have no hair.
To cover it.
To cover
there
up
you go.
Hearing aids. So I have had plenty of male patients who say, boy, I'd really like to hear better, but I just don't want people to see it, and I'm bald, and if I wear it, people will see it.
Yeah, I hear it all the time in caregiver support groups that I facilitate. If mom could only, if she would only wear a hearing aid, gosh, that would make a huge difference in her ability to socialize and interact with others.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes.
I might add, too, Philip mentioned the invisible in-the-ear hearing aids. I'm not an audiologist myself, but I've talked enough with Philip to know that those kinds of hearing aids can oftentimes be perfect for a patient because it actually can improve the sound quality as well.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a short break. I'm here today with Dr. Griffin and Dr. Kiefer from Now Hear This, talking about hearing loss in older adults, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Griffin and Dr. Kafer from Now Hear This, talking about hearing loss in the older adult on 1360 WCHL. Welcome back. So I know that we're really here today because we want to talk about what real ear measurements are and why aren't they done on everyone. Could you explain to us what that is?
Right. Real ear measurements, in my view and in the view of the audiology community,
sure,
is that these are the most important procedure that can be done on a patient who's
okay.
being fitted with hearing aids. And what it is it's a measurement that makes sure that the hearing aid that's in the patient's ear is giving the correct sound to match the prescription that they need.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So why isn't that done?
Well, it sounds easy when you throw it into one sentence.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it in the clinic, it's actually a pretty time-consuming procedure to do it correctly.
Okay.
You have to take the time to do it. You have to have the advanced equipment to do it, which is expensive.
Sure.
And you have to have the audiological knowledge to do it.
Okay.
So those three things together dissuade a lot of people from doing it, unfortunately. Right now in North Carolina, unofficially, are only around 10% of people are doing that on every patient.
That's a small number.
That's a very small number. Nationwide, it's about 25%. We think that really and truly it should be done on every patient, and that is the recommendation of the American Academy of Audiology, and it's best for the person themselves to hear their best.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I know that Dr. Kafer was mentioning when we were on break, he was watching the sort of the sound frequencies of our voices, and he said, you know, people really need to know that your voice has so many different frequencies to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the thing about hearing loss is when you have hearing loss, it could cut out a part of the frequencies of speech.
Mm-hmm.
So someone may literally be hearing half of what you say. If you say a sentence that's got 20 letters in it and then you take 10 out, that's what they might be left with trying to figure out what you're saying.
And that was one of the things I remember when I first started in my career was being trained on, is that you don't have to yell at seniors and older adults.
Right.
It's more to do with your pitch than anything else. So if you speak way up here, somebody may have a hard time hearing you versus
right.
someone with a lower voice. Is that
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Does it tend to be the higher pitches that go first?
It does. It certainly does. And other things too, like slowing down the rate of your speech is
right.
another major thing that can help a lot of older folks.
Mm-hmm. And coming from the North, I have a hard time with that sometimes. Yeah. And my grandfather, he actually wore two hearing aids, and he would often tell me, you need to slow down.
Right.
You need to slow down. And
yeah.
then when I did, he understood everything I said. So
That's it.
Definitely retraining. So for our listeners, what are the top three things that people should know when they're deciding whether they should get their hearing checked or not?
Yeah. There's three really important things to know. The first is if you are seeing a licensed audiologist.
Mm-hmm.
Audiologists have the skill and the knowledge to evaluate hearing loss correctly,
mm-hmm.
refer for medical problems that may need attention,
okay.
some of which can be quite dangerous and would need immediate referral. And thirdly, the knowledge and the skill to do real ear measurements.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, make sure you're seeing an audiologist.
Okay.
Number two would be to make sure that audiologist is doing real ear measurements, because once again, that is the most critical step in the care of a patient with hearing loss. It has to be done for them to hear well.
I've heard so many people complain that their hearing aids are too uncomfortable, they're too loud, they hear all the background noise, they can't stand being in a group setting or a high ceiling. Why is this happening to people?
Exactly, yeah. The main reason is that because the hearing aids are not properly fitted for the
okay.
prescription they need.
So does that have to do with the real ear measurements?
Absolutely.
Okay.
For example, if you were to go somewhere that didn't have the equipment and they were to adjust the hearing aids, without real ear measurements, they wouldn't know exactly how to adjust it for the best hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of guessing in a way.
Okay.
It's educated guessing, but still guessing. And go ahead.
Dr. Griffin?
And I would add to that a lot of people, unwary patients and customers, they've heard about hearing aids and they can be uncomfortable, too loud or whatever, and they blame the hearing aids. And hearing
yeah.
aids have gotten a bad reputation. I would assert, you know, having been in this business now for a few years, it is not the hearing aids themselves; it's the hearing aid fitting. And if you as Philip said, if you do a good job of asking those questions up front, you will find the right audiologist that can do those things that you need to have done, and you will be satisfied with hearing aids because. Actually, they have fabulous technology in them right now that can address nearly every hearing concern.
It's a big difference than years ago.
Oh, yes.
My grandfather was wearing a hearing aid for years and years, and you know, it was probably 10 years before he passed away before he knew that there was a setting on his hearing aid for telephone use.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think people just don't tell people about things like that. It's amazing.
It is, and that is also due to a lack of time, mm-hmm. unfortunately,
yeah.
that we spend with those patients, which is something that we're trying to change.
Definitely. So now hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you start it?
Great question. It's been an exciting journey and an exciting adventure here. You could say we're on a mission. The German hearing aid industry, especially the diagnostic and the fitting aspects of the German industry, is advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And one acoustician over there, they're called acousticians in Germany,
wow,
had invented this machine, this device. I got FDA approval on it a year ago. And we decided that we would, in order to accomplish our mission, we would start up the very first audiology practice in America that actually is using this device, which is called an ACAM5.
Interesting. And how is it different?
How it is different is that it's an all-in-one unit that includes both the diagnostics as well as some of these advanced tools that Philip was just talking about,
okay.
the real ear measurement,
okay.
but also some other things that help him an awful lot. One is called loudness scaling. It would mm-hmm. get very technical to describe that right
sure,
now.
Sure, sure.
But we call that true target, and then there's other things such as hearing a noise test.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Dr. Kiefer and Dr. Griffin talking about hearing loss in older adults on 1360 WCHL, and we'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Griffin and Dr. Kiefer from Now Hear This talking about hearing in the older adult on 1360 WCHL. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's talk about... What if one of our listeners is unhappy with their hearing aids? Is there a way that they can get refitted, or are they stuck with who they're with? How does that work?
Most hearing aids can be reprogrammed by somebody else. And if someone is unhappy with the way that they're hearing with their hearing aids, I strongly encourage them to come see us or another audiologist doing real ear measurements to get them reprogrammed or reset.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's any reason to live with less hearing than you could be getting.
Right. Yeah, there's no reason. If there's a cure, then why not fix it? And what about, and I know this is an issue that I hear people struggle with all the time, how can you get someone to recognize or admit and stop being in denial that there's a hearing loss issue? I know you can lead a horse to water and you can't force them to drink, but do you have some ideas to help families out there?
Yeah, I do. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. One thing is time. Another one is not enabling the person by
yes.
serving as their hearing aid, by always answering the phone when someone calls or always translating for the waitress at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And saying, look, you know, this is a problem we need to address. If you can't order your own food, maybe you should think about getting a hearing test.
Right.
You know, and so pointing out things like that. Another way to help them is to minimize the stigma and minimize the risk associated with getting help, which would be to say, well, look, they have invisible hearing aids now that can help you hear a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have wireless hearing aids that can help you hear the TV and the telephone better. So
mm-hmm.
you can hear better when I call you on Saturday afternoon.
And the TV doesn't have to be turned up to 45 volume and annoy everyone in the house.
Exactly. So sometimes just telling them the benefits mm-hmm. can get them to even start thinking about it.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. And the final way I would say is to have a heart to heart and to say, listen, you know, we love you and we want you in on our family. We want you in on our conversations. We want to enjoy you and your history and your piece of our family. So please get your hearing checked and hear better so we can enjoy you.
A friend of mine recently got a hearing aid, and she's, you know, in her early 50s, and she said she could not believe the things she was missing, the things that she could hear, even the compressor in the refrigerator. She hadn't heard that sound in years and years, the dishwasher running. I mean, it took her a while to get used to the sounds, but she said she was just amazed at all the things that she was missing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dr. Kiefer, you had a comment?
In my own case, in my mother's case, what motivated her to get a hearing aid was she learned that the lack of hearing, the loss of hearing, could affect maybe early stages of dementia, and she was afraid of that, and that's what motivated her.
Mm-hmm. So do you have some resources you'd like to share for our listeners?
Absolutely. The first resource we'd like to give is our website, Now Hear This, Audiology and Hearing Solutions, which is www.nowhearthisclinic.com.
Okay.
And, of course, if you have any questions, you can always call us, 919-256-2898.
Okay.
So feel free to contact us at any time. There are also other places on the web and locally that you can get information from. One would be the American Academy of Audiology at www.audiology.org. The Better Hearing Institute has a lot of great web resources at www.betterhearing.org.
And one more?
Locally, you can contact the North Carolina Hearing Loss Association, and their website is www.nchearingloss.org.
Well, thank you for joining Dr. Kiefer and Dr. Griffin and I as we discussed hearing loss and the older adult and Now Hear This on 1360 WCHL. As always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring at 1360wchl.com.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as for those people afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers and can be heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. Email questions to caring at 1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL.